Blog Talk Radio.
Collective wisdom. Tonight, Amy Flynn returns to our show. Last week, a tornado swept by my house, I came to learn later, as we were discussing the crystalline grid and the beams of light. Synchronistically, I never saw so much lightning in my life. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. So before we bring back Amy, I want to bring on our very own Moonvine. Hello, Joan.
Hello, Kate. Good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm great. How about you?
Well, are you having any storms on your side of the world?
No, everything has cleared up. So that's wonderful.
That's great. Yeah, yeah. The same is true here. It's a very beautiful summer evening. And unlike last week, which was a whirlwind of crazy weather.
That's scary. Yeah.
Now, we have two people here on the line, and I hate to say it, but I don't remember Amy's first three numbers, but I think I'll take a gander at it. And we'll see. It doesn't really matter who it is.
No, that's great.
Hello there.
Hi, it's me.
Hello, good to hear your voice.
You might not have storms yet, but we haven't started fogging.
I swear to heavens, it was a tornado that went through here. I learned about it later, and everybody was wondering if I was okay, but I actually felt a tremendous surge of energy, and I just thought it was so cool, and it was.
That's fantastic. I love it. That's what happens on Grid Talk Radio, right?
I think so. In fact,
we've
I know
some,
so.
We've had some interesting things like that, I'll tell you.
Wow.
I think the biggest one was the night that what was going on, Kate? You looked down and you saw the astronauts?
The astronauts were looking down on Earth. And I wasn't plugged into Twitter. You know how it is when sometimes your mobile phone syncs with Twitter? But it wasn't the way it was at all, and suddenly it just came on. And I guess the astronauts were looking down on Earth, and we were doing a Z-point meditation.
That's what it was.
Yeah, and it was so cosmic. That
wow.
I just think...
You mean they came through on your phone all of a sudden?
Yes, people were twittering about it, which, like I said, I wasn't tuned in at all. I didn't have my mobile settings turned on to Twitter at all. And suddenly it just came on that people were remarking about the astronauts. It was the space station time when the astronauts were circling the Earth, and they were looking down. And a few days later, we actually saw that. We saw them circling because we happened to be at a person's house who knew all about exactly the moment when they would be going by. And it was so cool.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely cool.
Wow.
All these wonderful synchronicities. That must be part of the grid that you guys talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. I mean, everything is connected and everything flows through. I mean, I was following them on Twitter. I guess I was following, I think his name is Masumoto. Is that his name? And he was twittering about, just the daily ins and outs of being up there in the what do you call that thing?
guess it's the space station.
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
Yes, the International Space Station. Wow.
Yeah. So, yep. And I thought that was a lot of fun.
That is fun.
Yeah.
So, how are you this evening? Are you doing well?
I am doing fine. Absolutely fine. Just, you know, excited to be here again, as usual. And always had
great.
Fun. I mean, I had so much fun last week here. I mean, I really did.
It was great.
Yeah. And
well, we have two callers on the line here.
Already?
And, yes. Let me just
Wonderful.
See who they are. Good evening. Hello? You might have to press 1 if you wish to speak, or if you're just listening, that's fine, too. That's perfectly fine. And we have another person here. Hello? They probably are enjoying just listening, and that is... And at any time you want to say something, please do.
I thought I heard something there, a little voice.
A little voice?
Yeah, like far away type sounding.
That's an interesting idea. Well...
We are open.
Yeah, we're open for discussion here. I was speaking of, have you ever thought about digital bleed-throughs? That was the thought that just went through my mind where, you know, all these things happen with the International Space Station thing coming across my phone. And, you know, here we are talking about, you know, light energy, and suddenly there's the greatest lightning storm of the century passing through. And I'm just wondering if there is something about our technology, too, that is speeding things up or making things happen or that kind of thing. I just have thought about that every now and then.
What do you mean by our technology doing it? I'm not sure what you're...
Well, we are interacting with our technology. We are a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And there is even a new technology called the Jedi Mind Thought Control, where people can interact with their computers and make the computer do what the mind tells it to do. I don't know. That's totally new technology. So
well, that's wonderful. Is it out yet?
It's about to come out. And it's coming out, first of all, as a video game, of course.
Oh.
I know, but I think it has a tremendous potential for the medical field because people who are injured, they can use it to navigate around in a wheelchair by just blinking an eye or smiling instead of even if they're completely paralyzed. They just have to, you know, gear their mind to make the wheelchair move around where they want it to move.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the fact of the matter is that your human emotion can also create things to happen on the computer. I think you can just, you know, it's in other words, you're not separate from your machines.
Oh, that's amazing. I love that.
Yeah.
Well, in reality, of course, we're not separate. But, I mean, I would like it just to, you know, sit there and I would just, like, think to the computer, I dare you to freeze up. I dare you. You freeze up and you're out the window, you know.
Literally.
Well, doesn't that tie in, though, Kate, to what we've talked about so many times here, the Second Life thing, where, you know, people who couldn't walk can walk because they are walking on Second Life.
Right.
Yes.
That whole thing just fascinates me.
Right.
And if that
yeah, anything that can bring about
you mean it would show up in their life, Joan, because they were doing it in Second Life?
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I love
yeah, because
that.
The brain actually changes.
Uh-huh.
Because the way I understand it, and I don't know if people are doing further studies on it. I hope they are. But because they were walking around in Second Life, they might be sitting in a wheelchair walking around on Second Life, but the mind understood that as walking around.
Right.
And so eventually they would get up and walk.
It made new pathways in their brain then.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful.
Right. Yeah.
That's wonderful. Yeah. I mean, I think that we're really, like, discovering or becoming aware of really the potential and of our minds and how our minds work. I mean, everything is mind created. There's nothing that exists that we didn't think up. In other words, nothing exists except what we think. We project it all. If we stopped projecting, there's no world. There's no nothing. It's like the they have said, you know, like the old Zen koan, you know, if there's no one in the woods and a tree falls, does the tree, you know, make a sound? And physics has gone even further and said, if there's no one in the woods and the tree falls, there's no tree and there's no woods because no one's observing it. Therefore, no one's projecting it. You have to have the observer. The observer makes the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So without an observer, there's nothing. And we're observing our world, and what we perceive and what we experience is because we have agreements, we have agreed. Our whole culture, our whole mass consciousness has agreed to interpret certain energy frequencies as particular things. So we see, you know, we see a particular energy frequency, we interpret it as a car, we interpret it as a road, we interpret it as a tree, a house, a person. But they're really just energy frequencies. So
because of the way the energy moves so fast, and we just are seeing a part of it.
Right. Well, we're only conscious of a part of it. We are seeing much more of it. You know, our unconscious, the rest of us, the energy part of us sees the whole thing, but we're consciously only aware of it, a certain part, a very small sliver. And that's the part that we expand as we become aware, more aware, and we increase our awareness. We're increasing our conscious awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And as we become more conscious of things, then all of a sudden we have more things in our lives, or we perceive that we have more things. They were there anyway. We just didn't know they were there. It's like we're walking through life on this narrow road, and right next to us is this mansion and $1 million and you know, the dream boat and the dream, you know, this and that. But we just don't see it because it's outside of our consciousness, outside of our awareness. And as we expand our awareness, it's like we take our vision and, like, move, like if you imagine that you have a certain peripheral vision and you're just kind of, like, making it wider and wider and wider, the wider it is, all of a sudden more things are able to be seen, more things are in your awareness, and more things are there to be experienced. Not that they weren't there before. They were always there. But your $1 million is sitting right next to you. You just don't see it.
Well, I see it. I see it.
Okay.
Clearly.
Okay, good.
Every day.
Okay.
For a few minutes a day, anyway.
Oh, okay.
I actually carry around two $1 million bills, play money, I guess, but it looks so real in my wallet.
Whitey does. Isn't that interesting?
Hey,
does he do that?
Yeah.
Care for any more?
Hello? What did you say? Hello?
Well?
Another digital bleed through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whoever that is supposed to be talking to us.
Yes. Hello, though. Hello there, and welcome. It seems like...
Do you have the lines open and unmuted at this point? So if anyone comes on, they're going to be unmuted?
They unmute themselves if they wish to talk,
as
opposed to me doing it for them. I think that's better. but it just occurs to me that we see more, as you were just talking about what we see, I think we see more the higher our vibrational frequency. And the highest vibrational frequency of all is love.
Mm-hmm.
And the more we see with eyes of love, of compassion, and forgiveness, I think the more we will see.
Yes.
We can see awareness and the ocean of, you know, we are more in the flow.
Mm-hmm. This is true. Actually, our true nature is love. The only energy, we're energy, pure energy. As I think you know, a lot of people know this with an understanding, but they have never experienced it. So it's kind of a little tricky at times to experience. You really have to experience yourself as pure energy, and that takes doing some, getting into some altered states. But the energy that we are is love energy. Love isn't a concept or a verb or even a noun, the way that we think of it, you know, as defined here with our conscious minds. Love's a frequency of energy. It's a force, and it's the most powerful force that there is. And it is actually the only energy. I guess you could say the divine or whatever you want to call it, source energy, is love energy. It's pure love energy. It's a very powerful energy. And the feeling that it feels, the expression of that energy, is pure joy. And the way that energy is perceived, or I guess you could say exists in a physical sense, even though energy is not physical, is light. So when people go around and they say, you know, love and light, everything's love and light, that's really true, but most people don't understand how true it is, or they've never experienced it as true. They just kind of understand it to be true. And there's a big difference between experiencing something and understanding it. Understanding it, it's like part of you, and you just know it without a doubt. Whereas that's experiencing it. Understanding it, you know about it. You believe it, but it's not quite as powerful. So anyway, yeah, love is it. That's all there is, really. John Lennon had it right. Love is all there is.
Sure. That's for sure.
Yeah. So many, if you look at so many what we call, you know, aware, awakened, enlightened people, whether they be artists, whether they be teachers from, you know, millions of years, well, not millions, thousands of years ago, millions of years ago, I guess we would have been taught by the dinosaurs. actually, they probably were very wise, too, you know. So, but yeah, they always say, you know, love, love, love. Mm-hmm. And that's why. I mean, it is all that there is.
Well, and it's like the pictures I immediately think about Kate's aunt, and Kate did a site about her aunt's birthday, and you can just see the love in her eye. You can just see it in her whole being, in fact. It almost bounces off the page.
She's become that.
Yes, she has become that. She really, yeah. It shows, Kate. It's just there.
It does. It shows. She's like some sort of evolved being. She can barely really, doesn't have much interest in expressing herself verbally.
Uh-huh.
She looks at you with the most beautiful, loving eyes that is possible to have. Just amazing.
Yeah. It really is, and I think of a friend that I had many years ago, and she died in her 90s, but she was walking love. At, you know, mm-hmm. that same kind of, you experience love every time you were with her.
Uh-huh.
That's a powerful thing.
It is. That really is.
That would be the way to grow old, wouldn't it? And that's the way we should talk about growing old in our society.
Yeah.
That should be the dialogue. That should be the discussion. When we talk about growing old, that is what we should talk about.
How to become more loving or more
That's right.
love.
More love.
Yeah.
It's more love.
More love. More love.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And it's, you know, that's very, very accurate that she would have very little interest in verbal communication, because verbal communication, you know, the more advanced you get, and the more high your frequency gets, and the more high your consciousness gets, high being on, like, if you want to say levels, I hate that word, but I don't know what other word to use, verbal communication isn't it. Verbal communication is really a very low form of communication. Energy communication, telepathic communication, just thought transference communication, all these things are much higher vibrations. And we are actually moving towards that. We're going to have a whole bunch of telepaths on this planet in a couple of years. So everybody will be able to be a psychic and open up a little shop.
Communally.
Well, you can tell we're moving in that direction.
Yeah, very quickly.
Yeah. You think quickly.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's part of the shift. The shift of consciousness and this part of, you know, as we move from the dimension, I guess you could say, that we're in, and the density that we're in, to higher dimensions that are going to be existing on this planet. I mean, the dimension that we've known for so long, and the energy and the frequencies that we've been so familiar with, are giving way to higher frequencies and higher dimensions that are going to be the norm, the standard then on this planet. Everything's shifting, including the planet. And once that, you know, comes into being, and even as it's on its way, more and more people are going to notice telepathy, synchronicity in their life. I mean, there's much more synchronicity now when you think something or you think about someone, and then all of a sudden they show up in your life, you know, or something happens. You know, all you've got to do is think of them, and there they are, either by phone, by email, by Twitter, you know.
Synchronistically, I got an email today that was about selling a book called something about the experience of love or something, and he was talking about John Lennon's song "All You Need Is Love." So when you said that, it struck me as, wow, there is another one. There's another synchronicity.
Right.
And I bought the book, and on page 133, there's a chapter written, or at least by or about, Leonard Lasco, who will be coming on our show on September the 22nd.
Oh, excellent.
So that's, yeah, he's a very,
and
he's
the
guru
name?
Of love. He's the
what
guru
is...
of love. Oh, of course we all are, but I mean, he wrote the book Healing with Love, and the gentleman who wrote the book that I bought is, well, the two of them are physicians, and they pretty much given up their practices to get into the love energy.
Yeah, that's excellent. That's a perfect example of the synchronicity.
It is. Yes.
That's excellent. I love to hear about these doctors who are giving up practices to really move into a higher consciousness and a higher level of awareness. Because just doctoring in the Western manner, the way that they're doing it, is really not a high level of consciousness.
No.
Well, and they see so much and experience so much that if they have any sensitivity to it at all, they have to get more curious about it.
Right.
You know, they just, their experiences lead in that direction, I think.
Right.
If they're open to it.
Isn't that the truth? And many, many are becoming more open to it, but so many times they're overworked, they work too many hours, and I get peopled out, I would think.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's absolutely true, too.
But it's interesting because, you know, especially the surgeons, they really, something happens when you're under anesthesia, when people are under anesthesia, other realms and dimensions come into play. And they're there, and they're surrounded by that. They have to be affected. They might not consciously know what's going on, but they're feeling it.
Yes.
They're feeling it. Many
Can
times
you imagine?
Patients are leaving their bodies and, you know, things like that. And even though they might not see them do that, they're feeling it.
So,
and they are listening. They can hear. I went into surgery one time within the last 10 years anyway and heard everything that was going on under anesthesia. And so I learned through that experience that people hear everything, even though I've read it many, many times. But I experienced it once again. Through that experience, I now know that you can hear everything at all times.
I immediately am thinking about our daughter, Kathy, had brain surgery about 5 years ago, and I think especially brain and heart positions for sure, but her doctor was just, again, walking love. He was just wonderful. And when we walked out the first day after we met him, which was actually the day before the surgery, She blew her a kiss.
Sorry, that's my dog. Go ahead.
Oh, that's your dog?
He's having some problems. He is having problems.
I was wondering what that was.
let's send him some healing energy while we're at it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is he choking on something there?
No, he has a cough that seems to be taking him down.
Oh.
Yeah, let's just hope for him that he can. All I can say is let's just send him healing energy as we go about this show.
Okay,
yes.
We will.
Yes.
Yes.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Joan.
But anyway, as we walked out of the doctor's office that day and he had explained the surgery, and again, it's brain surgery, so it's all kind of scary for us. And but he blew her a kiss as we walked out the door.
Oh.
And I just melted. You know, he had me at that moment. It's like, oh, you know, she's in the right place. Again, one of those loving people, and you could feel it when he walked down the hall, you know, just
right.
People just flock to him, and he's retired now, but oh, what a gift. Is good friends with Maya Angelou.
Oh.
I understood, yeah, so he was very...
Birds of a feather flock together, so it obviously rubbed off on him. And
right, right, or vice versa, I mean,
right.
Who knows, but very interesting to be around that dimension of that depth of caring and loving for patients. I just was floored by it.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's
mm-hmm.
really beautiful.
Oh, yes.
And I haven't seen much of that, as Kate well knows. I just, you know, but...
you tend to see the opposite, like the normal, the norm.
I do think there are those special guys out there, guys and gals out there who do those careers out of a concern for human beings, which is a wonderful thing.
It looks like they take it on as a ministry of some sort.
Right. Sunflower is sending wings of angels to your dog, to Mookie.
Yes, thank you.
Did you see that?
Yes. Thank you very much.
You say Mukunda, and I say Mookie. What?
Mookie is good, yeah. Mookie's good.
Yeah. How old is Mookie?
He's 12.
Yeah.
Oh. What does Mukunda mean?
It is the childhood name of Paramahansa Yogananda, who wrote the autobiography of a yogi.
Oh.
Remember that great book? Oh, my gosh.
Right, right. Okay, so that was like his birth name?
That was his birth name.
Oh, okay. I knew it sounded familiar to me.
Yes.
I just didn't. I couldn't place it. Oh, okay. Excellent.
Well, the dog has been checked out totally, and there's nothing wrong with him, except he has this horrendous cough. So, but there's something emotional there.
It's emotional. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And obviously, he could have a little bit of an allergy, too, because it's been such a wet summer. And we live in a very old house. And
wouldn't that have been found if it was an allergy or something?
She thought it might be an allergy. We've cleaned up all the mildew that was in the house, and we keep him when he's in air conditioning. He's perfectly capable of. He actually doesn't cough when he's in air conditioning, and I would assume when we start the wood stove in the winter, he will stop coughing then too. But, we've done everything we can to clean everything up, and it seems to have helped. But and we did take him to the vet, and the vet seemed to think he had a narrowing esophagus, trachea. And that's something that you see in old and very little
mm-hmm.
dogs. But he seems to have it for some odd reason.
Well, it could also be that could be an effect of inflammation or the constant coughing. It might not be the cause.
That could be, yeah.
No.
So he's such a dear, dear soul. He's a wonderful dog. And talking about love, he just looks at you with these beautiful eyes, and he understands everything. And oh, what a wonderful dog. And he was my first dog after 28 years of not having a dog because of some sort of tragedy that occurred with all my dogs back in the early 1970s. So... He has been, I would never go without a dog, no matter what now. They're just so wonderful.
Well, he sounds very, very special, and that's why he was the first one for you, is because he's special.
He is.
So he'll be fine. I feel it. Yeah,
Thank you.
That there's yellow color around whatever emotions he has going on with this and feelings. I don't know why yellow energy, but
thank you. I think he will bounce out of it too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if there's been any trauma or anything that might have caused him emotional upset lately that you're aware of.
No, actually, everything's calmed down around here. We really made our house a place of serenity and peace, and he appreciates that.
Oh, good, good. You know what? Also, he might welcome, or his body might welcome homeopathy. You know, they have those little drops and things. You could probably get some of those essences and flower essences and different tinctures, things like that might work really well with this because it's all energetic.
He likes Brione. Tom has studied homeopathy for many years, and he gave him Brionia.
Uh-huh.
Because it's a chronic hacking cough, as you all heard. And Brionia helps it for several hours. He might need a higher potency, which just means that it's a higher vibrational thing. And it might be that that's what he needs, because it does seem to help him for a little while when he takes it.
Yeah. Yeah, I just kind of intuited that. So I think that it's a good one. And there may also be another energy too, frequency that would be good for him. I don't know I don't know enough to know which one, because I'm not a homeopathic expert or anything like that. But it's something, ask him. Ask the dog. Write the names on a piece of paper of different ones and see which one he kind of is attracted to.
Yes. Absolutely.
I'll tell you. Yeah.
Well, they understand everything, these animals.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect English, but probably not. It's on a nonverbal level.
Right. They understand more on a nonverbal level. They understand frequencies, and they're much more telepathic than we realize. So we say things, but it's really the tones and the energies of what we say, as opposed to the actual words. Because you could check that out by saying, if there's common words or phrases that you say to him that he normally responds to, replace all the words with a sound like blah, 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 but use the exact same intonation and the same emotions and see what happens.
Yeah.
Do you know what that static is that I'm hearing on the phone come through every few seconds or few minutes?
I hear it too. Ooh. I don't know.
I don't hear it.
You don't hear it?
Yeah.
It almost sounds like it could be like an electrical storm or something, but there's nothing going on here. It like comes through with a big pssht, like that. There it goes.
Do you have a landline?
Yes, but I'm a cordless landline.
Okay. And
how about
Joe,
you,
Joe? I'm
on landline.
With a cord or not?
Yes, with a cord.
Oh, okay. I don't know. It's just it's interesting.
It is.
It's non-physical energy wanting to participate in the conversation, I think.
Yes. Absolutely. So, dealing with love is probably the way for all of us to really concentrate on. Healing with love, and that's probably what the crystalline grid is all about.
The crystalline grid is actually a higher frequency grid. I mean, if most people are familiar with the concept, if not what it is, but at least the concept, or they've heard of it, the electromagnetic grid. That there is an electromagnetic grid. We've got the planet's got an electromagnetic core. There's, you know, electromagnetic charges throughout the planet per se. That's what these vortexes are. The vortexes on the planet are actually equivalent to major chakra points on the planet. Like the human body has chakra points, major chakra points. We have many minor chakra points, but we are aware of and pay attention to the 7 primary ones.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the vortexes and these energy, big known energy centers on the planet are the planet's major chakras, but there's also many minor ones. And some of the minor ones are just as powerful. They're just lesser known, but they are, you know, as powerful. And they don't necessarily correspond with a special type of area or a special, anything special goes on in that physical location or is present in that physical location. It's really, you know, it's more of an invisible energy thing. But anyway, this grid that we're all familiar with is considered the electromagnetic grid, and that's what people refer to when they refer to the spiritual grid. As we evolve, as the planet shifts upwards, and to describe this, it's like we're currently a third, fourth, we've been a third, fourth dimensional planet. We've existed in these dimensions, and everything that we know, realize, see, are aware of, have been living, is within these dimensions. With this shift, this evolution of the planet, we are actually shifting to a fourth, fifth dimensional planet, where there's going to be a lot of fifth dimensional energy here and frequencies. As this happens, everything becomes more filled with light. Everything becomes lighter. Lighter in less dense, but less dense means more filled with light. The crystalline grid is a light grid. If you think of crystals, crystals are actually used in lasers to, they're the things that, I don't know if they direct the laser beam or they produce the laser beam. I don't know how it actually works, but I know that they're in there with the light, and they help direct or produce the light. So crystals and crystalline grid actually transmits and moves energy at the speed of light. It's a much faster grid. It's a much higher frequency grid. It's not as heavy. It's lighter. And that grid is superimposed over the electromagnetic grid, and it's eventually going to be replacing the electromagnetic grid as we move higher and become less dense, and the dimensions of the planet move higher, and we're more able to function on this higher grid. And the planet is the same as us. The planet is just us. It's part of our physical body. We're not separate from the planet. It's just that we have, you know, what we perceive as our physical bodies, the thing that we walk around in, and then we have a big round ball that we live on, but it's all us. Mm-hmm. And so everything is moving towards this. Everything will be functioning on, you know, this crystalline grid. And the crystalline grid exists now. It's just that it's, I guess you could say, things are shifting over to it. You know, it's like, it's kind of a gradual, or it seems gradual, as the consciousness and the dimension of everything here shifts and is able to, you know, accommodate the crystalline grid. That's probably the best way to describe the crystalline grid. It's very difficult to describe in words because it's really a beyond words type of, when you start to describe things on this level and in this dimension, it really goes beyond words. Whereas mm-hmm. the electromagnetic grid can be more described in words because it's a lower dimension that we're used to using words to talk about. We're going to become a lot more wordless too, which is going to be very interesting as we become more telepathic.
Mm-hmm.
Will this happen in our lifetime?
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be happening in the next few years.
Do you
really?
Yeah, absolutely. It's everything. You're going to be amazed. I mean, it's not going to be like an overnight thing, but yet it's going to feel almost like it's overnight. Like one day you're going to wake up and you're going to go, wow, look at this. You know, it's like, you know, everybody's like telepathic now, and we can just kind of like think our way. You know, we think about being somewhere, and all of a sudden we're there. Or, you know, it's just, yeah. I mean, we're going to like realize all of a sudden that this is all happening, but it's not going to like, we're not going to go to sleep one night and wake up and it's going to be like that. But it might very well feel like that though, which is interesting because, you know, human beings are so attached to this concept of linear time that everything has to happen one thing after the other, after the other. It's really a false concept. Things don't happen that way. Things happen simultaneously. There's simultaneous time. I think we mentioned this last time about the parallel realities and that there's parallel uses. You know, we're living parallel lives. We're not just living one life. The life that we are consciously aware of is only one of an infinite number of lives that we're living. And I'm not talking about the divine being expressed as many. I'm talking about our little piece of consciousness, our little piece of that is living many lives so we can have the maximum experience. And everything is happening now, and it's always happening all at once. So what we perceive to be fast, what we perceive to be slow, what we perceive to be overnight is really a concept based on old thinking of this linear time. So I think that that's going to fall by the wayside too.
Right. That's good news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good news. And what can we do to prepare ourselves for this?
Good question.
That is an interesting question. That is very interesting. My first instinct to answer that would be to say nothing. You're prepared as it is. You're being prepared just by being alive now, by participating in conversations like this, by being open, by you know, allowing your natural curiosity, your natural desire for exploration, your natural desire for learning more, becoming more. That's taking you there. It's preparing you for it. There's not any specific thing that you have to do. Okay, I got to do this, check off that, do that, and do that. It's more really just, you know, continue to stay curious, continue to stay engaged, continue to stay open, and continue to become more and more aware. You know, look to expand your awareness. And when I say expand your awareness, I don't mean by reading more or studying more. That's not expanding your awareness. I mean, meditation's a good way of doing this. I mean expanding your actual awareness of the moment. You're in a moment right now. What do you perceive? How much do you perceive in this moment? Now make that bigger. Do you know you can perceive the whole world in your moment? You can perceive everything going on the planet right now.
Wow, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, you can. So, you know, look at that. But in order to do that, you have to quiet the talking mind, and you have to suspend a lot of beliefs you have about that you can, you know, and what you're able to perceive, and become the observer. You have to step outside of yourself, become this observer, and, you know, look at put your attention on the big picture, the biggest picture that you can. Not forcing it, but just allowing it. And you'd be surprised what all of a sudden you know. It's like you might see activity going on in your city or your town, like, you know, 10 miles away or 2 miles away or what, you know. But allow this. The more you do this, the more you expand your awareness this way, all this is in line with this new energy, this new expanded consciousness. So these are all things that you know, you can do.
Yes, that's true.
So then, and y'all know I have a hard time understanding all of this. But
you always say that, Joan, but you know what? I invite you to drop that.
Okay. Thank
you. I invite you to totally drop that, because every time you say that, you reinforce that you do. Do you realize that?
Oh no.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you stop saying that and you start saying, I am so curious about this. You know, I really am embracing this. I am really, you know, looking to step into this. I'm so curious about this. This excites me. That puts a whole other energy on it, and you're going to just move, you know, towards it much faster. You're just creating a block for yourself by saying what you say.
Okay. I can buy that.
Okay.
All right. So, anyway, I'm sitting in my house, and I'm in the present moment. And I can intuit what, I don't know what you're saying, my neighborhood, say, you were saying the world, I am challenged by that, but I say, well, my neighborhood or my close neighbors, right, and then I would be able to, I don't know what you're saying, sense what's happening in the area?
No, it's not a matter of guessing, it's a matter of just knowing. It's like you're watching, more feeling a movie. You know, it's like you're observing. You know, when
right,
you
like I've walked by a house and had a feeling there was sadness inside. Is that what you're talking about?
That's part of it, yes. Yes. There's an expanded awareness. Yes. 10 years ago, that probably would not have happened. It's happening much more naturally now. And you see, all you need to do is to allow it. You're already moving towards this expanded version of you, these higher frequencies. You really just need to allow it and not block it. So you need to pay attention to your thoughts. You need to pay attention to your words, because that's how we create. We create our reality with our thoughts and our words, and our feelings come out of that, and which is our vibration. So, you know, if you're thinking, oh, this, you know, if you walk by someone's house and you get this feeling, oh, this is really ridiculous, this can't be true, you know, I'm just not going to believe that, you know, I'm obviously, it's got something to do with how I'm feeling, then you're putting out a vibration that blocks the whole process, the whole expansion. So
but I've done that, yeah, but I've always been able to do that. I mean, I've always been able to pick up on what's going on in particular houses, especially.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I've never ignored that. I just, in fact, one time came home and called my friend. What's going on over there, you know?
Uh-huh.
Because,
did she verify
because
your suspicion?
No, she kept saying everything was fine, but of course you never know, you know?
Right.
No,
people,
that's
you don't
right.
know what's going on, so. But, I mean, on this, you know, there wasn't anything that I could do anything about. And that was what I wanted to know, if I needed to be helping somehow. But, you know,
it's
those
not so much that you need to be physically helping. You
right.
need to be energetically helping. So if
right.
you sense something like this, you're sensing it on a level, a dimension beyond the normal dimension that people live in. And they might not even be aware of things in that dimension. They might be aware of some inner sadness or something, but, you know, it's not something that they're really going to communicate, because they don't think it's something that's important, or they
right.
don't think it's anything, you know, major. It's maybe just, you know, an inner feeling or whatever. Your job at this point is not so much to call them up and interact with them in the old physical way, but to interact with them in an energetic way. You're feeling energy, so you interact with it in an energetic way. You send them love. You look to, if you can do any energetic clearing, you look to do some energetic clearing for them. But you surround them really with love energy, and you visualize them and their energy being surrounded with love. You just see it, like, you know, a certain light or certain type of energy surrounding them and penetrating in the home and penetrating into them, things like that. That's really what's much more useful. And you'll notice, you know, it's quite possible that they might, you know, call you or the next time you speak to them saying, you know, I really was kind of feeling really weird. I don't know what it was. Then all of a sudden it just kind of shifted. And I just feel amazing now. I just wanted to share that with you. I don't know why, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the way this works is not the way that we're used to. It's the old way of things working, and the old understanding that we've had, it doesn't apply anymore.
Well, it's on the same order of doing what I used to call shooting prayers, where you pray for somebody in the grocery store, or, you know, at one time I worked in a school district and, you know, would pick up on certain kids and pray for them, not ever tell them. Just do that. Just send that prayerful energy or whatever to them. I didn't use that term in those days.
Right.
But it is that, and you can almost watch facial expressions change.
Right.
You can almost see it
happening. Yeah. Yeah, well, we are energetic beings. That's what we are. This physical thing that you see, you know, in front of you, when you look in the mirror, when you look at other people, isn't real. It's a projected illusion. It's an agreed-to projected illusion. That's all. What's real is the energy. The energetic component is real. So when you send these prayers, these special prayers, you're sending an energy. You're sending a frequency. You're sending a very loving, nurturing, caring, empowering energy to them. And they're receiving it on an energetic level. Consciously, they couldn't tell you what they're receiving. Consciously, they couldn't, you know, if you were to ask them, oh, I noticed that you smiled all of a sudden. Did you feel something? Did you get to do something? They wouldn't know.
No.
I just smiled. Something just made me smile. I just smiled. You know?
Yeah. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, you can't look to understand this with the old paradigm, because the old paradigm doesn't fit this. It's like trying to, like, we've built our bodies up. This is an example. Like, we've gone to the gym and we've built ourselves up, and now we really wear a different size clothes. But yet here we are trying to squeeze into the old ones and put them on and walk around, you know, the seams splitting no matter what. You know, it just doesn't fit anymore. So it's time to just let them go. And to look to see, you know, what's so now, without forcing it, you know. You'll just, you know, all of a sudden, oh, I see, these are the things that fit. This is what, you know, works now. Okay, I'll step into this for a while and see how that feels. But without attachment, because this is a period of transition right now. So what fits now is not going to fit in another 6 months, maybe another 2 months. And certainly won't be what fits in another year, because this is a transitional period. So everything is just kind of moving and transitioning. It's very exciting energetically. It's just really, really exciting. And it's all good. I mean, people, you know, that's the thing that's so unfortunate, like with all this stuff, like people watch the news. I mean, I don't know why people do still, but they do. And, you know, all this negativity, and they read the paper, or they look at the news online. There's so much negativity that's being out there about what's happening in our world. And really, what's happening in our world, you could describe it as the energy is shifting. The frequencies are shifting. The old paradigms are falling apart. They're no longer supporting us. And in order for new paradigms to come into place, the old have to come down. You can't have them the two things in the same energetic space. So what we're having is really the I guess you could say, destruction or the preparation for the new paradigm, for the new energy to be here. And the new energy is so exciting and so much more expansive and good, wonderful feeling than the old, you know, energy and old paradigm that we've lived for so many hundreds of years, thousands of years. It's time. I mean, it's really, really time for us to be moving forward. We may even have been a little slow in this. I'm not really sure. I kind of get that feeling every now and then, that kind of intuitive sense that this kind of was, could have happened 20 years ago, but it didn't, because the consciousness and the energy was not ready for this, to make this shift on the planet yet. So it's just taken this long to get to the point where it's actually ready to move upward. It was always going to happen.
Mm-hmm. I have a question, though. It seems to me that there will be people who won't be able to move along with it, with this shift.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like there are people who are so hanging on to the old paradigms at all costs, and I mean at all costs.
Mm-hmm.
I see it in the workplace, and I see it in the old paradigm. I mean, there's people who are just clinging to the old paradigm for dear life.
They're afraid.
Yeah, and I just don't know if they'll be able to live through this physically, you know.
Right. You know, some won't. And it's always an elective choice. You know, each being decides when they're going to, you know, leave this experience, leave their body, and go back to their true energy state. I mean, we are not physical beings, so this physical experience that we're having is really like a coat. You know, we've come here as energetic beings, and we've each donned a coat. We've put on a coat, and that coat is what we perceive as our physical self, and then our physical lives. But it's really just something we've put on, and when we're ready, we take it off and return back to our true state, which is just pure energy. These people, some of them, are just so filled with fear of the unknown, very so attached to what has been, what has come before, that to go into something this different is very, very challenging for them, is very, very scary. And many of them will elect not to, you know, go with it. They're going to elect to just something different. Yeah, bow out.
Bow out of this dimension, of this physical dimension at that time.
Yeah.
I mean, I see that with people. They will, there's a certain, there's always been, over the last 20 years, a willingness on the part of some to embrace this new paradigm, and it's liberating for those people. And then there's a certain amount who don't even have an inkling and who fight it and filled with resentment, regrets, hanging out in the guilt and the shame. And they really do not go beyond that.
And they're usually the people that watch a lot of news. So they're constantly getting an influx of this negative, fearful energy. And you can't be fed a diet of negative, fearful energy and really be feeling something other than negative and fearful. I mean, it just, you know, you are what you take in. You are what you surround yourself with. And if that's the energy you immerse yourself in, well, guess what?
Yes.
So
yeah, this is very good news, though. I mean, it's good news for them, too, but it's really good news for the planet. It means that the planet will survive another millennium, perhaps. And like you say, it's so ridiculous to listen to the news at all.
Well, the news is also a very, very old paradigm. The news,
oh,
you know, as this shift comes more into being, the news is going to have to change because more and more people are tuning it out. More and more people, as individual entities, individual energies shift, you know, each one, each piece of consciousness, each person shifts and becomes more loving and more open and moves into these other frequencies. There's less tolerance for this fear, you know, fear-based news, this fear-mongering and whatever. It's just not going to sell. And since what the news is a vehicle for selling advertising. It's really what it is. That's all it is. It's a vehicle for selling advertising. In the past, the paradigm that worked for selling the most advertising was negative news. It's the moth to a flame effect. People have to look at negative stuff. You know, you can't go by a car accident or a wreck on the road without turning to gawk at it. You know, now more and more people are able to go buy these things without gawking at it, interestingly. So what's going to happen is it's not going to be a paradigm that's going to support them anymore. So they're going to have to choose something different. And they're also probably going to be more moving to the online format, which is a more universally distributed format. I mean, many of them also have online, you know, streams and online replays and things like that. Well, more and more are going to be moving to actually live types of things online, and the television broadcasting will just kind of become more secondary. It will always be there because because it's just so indoctrinated into the culture. But as this happens, too, they're going to have to be choosing a whole new outlook. And, I mean, I've noticed that for the most part, the stories and things that they tend to put up online tend to be the more neutral and positive ones. They don't put up the real negative stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind of automatically feeling this and making these choices already. So, you know, you can't, the planet can't shift, the consciousness can't shift and leave a whole part of itself behind. The whole thing shifts. So as it does shift, the news, you know, what we call the news and you know, this whole media thing will come along and shift with it.
Mm-hmm.
And show up differently for us.
That's what people are looking for, and that's what's going to happen. Well, we only have about 2 seconds left on the program.
Oh, my. We did it again.
Yes, as Joan says, the fastest hour of the week.
Oh, wow.
It is that. It is always
it really
that
is.
Way.
So we certainly.
Well, do you want to go over? I mean, you pointed out we can go over a little bit.
We can. But shall we end on a meditative note, or should we go through a little guided session from your guides?
We can. I've got to connect with them. I mean, I'm very not connected at this moment. I mean, I've been talking, so you know.
Right.
Yeah, well, we can
do
that.
Do what you feel comfortable. Yeah, do what you feel comfortable doing.
Okay. Do you want to? I mean, what would you like to do? Would you like to do that? Do you want to wrap up at this point, or do you want to take some questions and then we can do that? I mean, if we're going to go over, we're going to go over.
Well, we've gone over, so that's cool.
Okay.
And is
everyone still hanging in there with us?
There are people in the chat room still.
Okay, and on the phone.
Yes. I don't know.
So why don't we see if there's some questions before we go into a meditative thing, and then we can wrap up with a meditative thing. How's that sound?
That sounds great. I'm writing a little thing here in the chat room.
And how do you talk to the people on the phone or open their lines up so they can speak if they'd like to?
Well, they can just press 1, and I encourage people to do that.
I would like to, and I don't even know if you do this kind of thing, but I would like to know what you see as far as this show is concerned. This show has just kind of developed a life of its own anyway. It's real interesting how it all happened and is happening.
Mm-hmm.
What is your take on that, or do you have any feeling on that?
I'm not sure what you're exactly asking.
I'm not sure what I'm asking either.
Okay,
to be perfectly right. You know, I don't know.
Okay, so do you want my energetic feeling, my energetic sense of this show? Is that kind of what you're asking?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. What I intuit or feel or get from the show is a very loving space. It's a very open space. It's very loving. It's very encompassing. It's very embracing. It's allowing. It doesn't reject anything, and it brings everything into its energy. So it's why I think it's taking off is because you do that. It's becoming bigger. It's expanding. The energy of it in the space is expanding. As you bring more into it, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And I think that's what you're feeling. I just see that it's a wonderful space. It's very much in line with the energies that are, you know, present and swirling around on the planet at the moment and in consciousness. It's just a wonderful space for people to come to and just kind of immerse themselves in and just play in, whether they speak or they don't speak. It's just the energy of it is just very healing and very expanding and just feels good. And feeling good is a very important thing because as we feel good, our vibration is a very attractive, positively attractive vibration for bringing feeling good things that make us feel good into our lives. That's what we would consider positive things as opposed to negative things.
Mm-hmm.
So does this kind of answer what you were asking?
Yes, and thank you. I appreciate that. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
it, you're welcome.
It is a just being a part of it to me is week after week just such an experience. It's like this is something bigger than us,
mm-hmm.
and I keep saying this over and over, but it really seems to be that way.
Yeah.
It has its own life almost. It has nothing to do with Joan and Kate.
Right, right. No. You're just kind of the
vehicles or something.
Yeah. Well, I guess you could say vehicles or the you're the container. You kind of help create the container in which the show can happen. But yes, the show has its own life. It has its own energy, and it's here. And it chose you. It chose the two of you because it just knew that you would allow it, that you wouldn't try and restrict the energies, that you would be open. And, you know, energy is very intelligent. Consciousness is intelligent, and things don't happen by accident. They happen with purpose, on purpose.
There is another question here in the chat room. Do you have any thoughts or knowledge on Lumeria, and then, or Mu, which quote unquote Mu, M-U? Do you know anything about that?
Yes, I think you pronounced it wrong. Spell it.
L-U-M-E-R-I-A. Lumeria.
Right. Okay. I believe they're talking about the ancient civilization. That we call the ancient civilization, and it's actually L-E.
Lemuria.
Right, and Lemurians. Yes, and they were around. I think talking about linear time, which of course is this false concept. I believe they predated the Atlantean societies and Atlantean peoples. What would they like to know? I mean, is it, they just want to, what's the question say? They just want to know?
She said that the Lemurians have been on her mind recently,
mm-hmm.
and she doesn't even know why she's seeking this information. I guess she wants to know why she's seeking this information.
Because she probably was Lemurian. She probably was, she was probably incarnated at that time, in body at that time, with that group of energy and the energy beings. It's a very, very advanced society. The Lemurian society and the Atlantean societies were very much like what we're evolving towards. It's a very cyclical thing that we have here going on in this
mm-hmm.
planet. You know, it always goes in cycles, but it never repeats itself exactly. If you think about it, it's like a spiral. Okay, so when something goes around in a circle, it's also spiraling upwards. So if you start at point A and you go all the way around to point Z, like in a circle, your point Z is not going to be the same point Z as before because it's a spiral upward. So it's a higher level upward point Z. So where we're going is not going to be exactly where it was before, but a higher level up on this spiraling upward. Most likely, there's a Lemurian connection. I feel that is so for her. And if she can gain a lot of insight, it's wordless knowing, though. She's not going to be able to get it and put it into words that she's going to be able to necessarily communicate about. It's going to be a lot of feelings and a lot of kind of knowing about things, a lot of sensing. If she were to just go inside and go, you know, connect with her inner being, her higher self, whatever you want to call it, the source energy part of you, of her, and ask, you know, what insights are there for me from this time now? You know, what can I remember? And it's really kind of a remembering.
She could ask her dreams about what it is she needs to remember from that incarnation.
Yes, she could. She could. And kind of program herself to remember, to recall these things upon awakening. Yes.
Right.
That would be very useful.
She says she feels a very strong connection.
With the Lemurians?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. She should. She would. Because as I'm feeling, she was actually, you know, I hate to say it this way, but she was Lemurian. She actually lived during, she was actually incarnate, in body, expressed here on the planet during that time. So it's something that she is familiar with. And she's recognizing a lot of the energies now. See why this is coming up for her now is a lot of the energies that are present now are moving, you know, more into our awareness. Our, you know, our existence, day-to-day existence now, are parallel with, are the same energies as the Lemurians. So she's reminded of that time. So it's coming up for her. It can give her a lot of insight, a lot of clarity, and a lot of there's a lot there that she can get by reconnecting with this lifetime. This mm-hmm. energy.
She just mentioned something. Her name is Sunflower J.
Okay.
Also mentioned Mount Shasta, and I just wanted to, in my own mind, I climbed Mount Shasta one time
mm-hmm.
and saw the little people of Mount Shasta, and I didn't know about them,
mm-hmm.
but I saw them, and I saw them going up the mountain and stayed up there a few days, and I thought maybe it was because of the I had some sort of height sickness or something that made me see these things.
Uh-huh.
On the way down, I saw the same thing, and there's like these little beings that live in the rocks,
uh-huh.
and they're like little gnomes. And the energy of Mount Shasta is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, like I said, I wasn't really prepared for it. I wasn't drinking. I wasn't smoking pot or doing anything that, you know.
You don't have to do any of that stuff.
No, you don't need that.
No.
And I saw these things, and then I went back to, I lived in Happy Camp, California at the time, and went back, and I mentioned, I was just sort of brazenly, I mentioned the little people, and they said, oh my gosh, you saw the little people of Mount Shasta. So then I went back to the town of Mount Shasta, and there was this metaphysical bookstore there. Went in there, and the whole store was filled with books about the little people of Mount Shasta. I had never in my life had an experience like that in my life before or since.
Uh-huh.
I think we talked about it last week. You know, I see light energy, and I do see ghosts, and I see things. But that was the most prolonged vision of anything I had ever seen. Those little people. They were very busy. They were very industrious. They were not at all cognizant or interested in humans.
Uh-huh.
And they were busy. They were just very. They were just so amazing. They were like troll gnome, a combination
uh-huh.
between trolls and gnomes. And I always wondered about that.
What it is, you mean?
I just.
I mean, what did you wonder about?
I always wondered that, if they were the little beings that kind of kept things going there, because you know there is a fear of the volcano erupting. And if that volcano would erupt, you know, that would kind of wipe out the whole Northern Californian area.
Uh huh.
I
don't know about that. I don't know about that. But
mm-hmm.
what I you know get about these little people is they are another dimension. They're another dimension
oh, yeah.
that is superimposed. That's happening right now. Remember, everything's happening now.
Absolutely.
So there's many,
yeah.
many, many dimensions going on right now. We're only aware of a certain piece. And that's all our consciously are aware of. Unconsciously, and our higher self is aware of everything. What happens when you go to a space like Mount Shasta, which happens to be one of the Earth's chakra points? You actually, the energy is such where it blurs the line. It blurs that line between our normal conscious awareness and the expanded awareness. And we become able to experience that which is in our expanded awareness just as a part of our awareness without, you know, trying. At least some people can. Not everybody. It depends how attached they are to their conscious reality and keeping it just so. Those people will not experience and have this experience that you had.
Right.
So, you know, they're always there. That dimension is always there. It's always there. It's always happening. It's like right next to you right now is another life of you, another, you know, Kate living another life, making different choices, living out your life differently. And then another one next to that. It's just that you're not able to see that. There are certain meditative processes that take you to speak to and meet your parallel selves, your future selves, as they call it future, even though there's no future. A future self is really, I don't even know a word, but it's another another version of you, but we call it future because we're just so used to this linear time.
Probably thing. Just another version of now.
Yes, it is. It's another version of now. It's you know, certain choices made lead to this particular expression, this particular set of frequencies. Everything's choices. Everything. You know, people complicate things so much with, oh, you have to set your intention. You have to do this. You have to. It's really a matter of attention, where you're placing your attention in the choices that you make. How many times do you experience all of a sudden you go through a day and something, you know, happens or comes back to you and you're like, oh, my God, I didn't even realize that I did that. And you realize that you did something, but you weren't present. Your attention wasn't there. You were present, but your attention wasn't present. Your attention was elsewhere, and you have no conscious, in that small piece of consciousness, recollection of it. I mean, it happens a lot, and so it's where we place our attention and then the choices that we make. You know, it's really much more passive and allowing than people make it out to be. There's a lot of business and industry is the wrong word, but a lot of business built up this self-help, self-improvement, self-whatever, awareness, whatever you want to call it, business, industry, niche, around the doing, you know, that there's a lot of doing involved, there's steps and there's whatever. There really isn't. There really, really isn't. And that's becoming more and more apparent with this shift. And as we step more and more into these new energies, this old way of doing, these steps are not going to make any difference anymore. They're part of an old paradigm. And the new paradigm is much more hopping in the river and going with the flow.
Mm.
Yeah.
There's another power place around about 2 hours away from where I live. It's called Mount St. Mary's. And it has a huge statue, as you're coming in, a huge statue of the Mother Mary. I mean, it's actually a huge tower with her at the very top with this luminosity, the light just bouncing off of her. And then you take this tour, like a pilgrimage through, and there's this beautiful chapel where you can pray for things that you would like to change about yourself, something, you know, pray for something that's troubling you. There's people that go there that are very troubled. They're very
they
sad.
Go for comfort. Yeah, they go for comfort and love.
And they're going for a miracle of some sort.
Well, it's a very loving energy there. It's another energy point on the earth, and it's a very loving energy. Love is it's almost as if there's a crack. Not in the earth, but in the dimensions, and all this love is just pouring into the center. So that's why they erected the Mother Mary statue there, because she represents love very much, and nurturing, and you know, safe space, and just, you know, just kind of surrounding you with a hug, kind of a big hug. So you know, people are looking at it from the traditional, you know, viewpoint, from what they've, you know, understand Mother Mary to mean, and, you know, going like the traditional, okay, that, you know, I'll go and I'll pray and I'll ask for this. But it's really just that it's a very loving energy. And if someone would go even with absolutely no agenda of, you know, I'm going to go pray, I'm going to do anything, and just go and just sit there or just be there, they would just come and just be so filled with love and so filled with joy, they would just leave filled with this expansive feeling, with this love pouring out of them and this just inner joy, and they would just be, their vibration would be so raised just by doing nothing there, just by being there. It's not about the doing. See, people connect so much with the doing. We're so conditioned with we have to do, and that's really the way it's been. Is that, you know, our thinking is we got to do, and we got to do this, and we go here to do that, and we're moving to really what's really so, which is that it's really all about being, and all we need to do is be somewhere or be with a frequency, and just show up, and it happens. The magic just happens.
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. So are there more questions?
No, there aren't. Okay. Well, let me just peek here a minute. No, not really. Nope.
Okay. So the people are just... They're okay with wherever they are.
Since Laura is still there, let me just see if she has anything else. I had mentioned in the chat room that I thought my own mother was Lemurian. And so she was asking why I thought that.
Mm-hmm.
And it just occurred, it was an intuitive thing. And I just felt, I think the Lemurian energy was very childlike. And...
Mm-hmm.
Probably very nonverbal, but they were
absolutely nonverbal. Absolutely.
Really nonverbal. They never said a word, but there was all this this wonderful cooperation between people. Everybody that I don't even know if they were really people, but they were probably. And so I always thought my mom had something, some incarnation there, and I don't know. It was just an intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And what made me think that she was is because she had a way of becoming hysterical at times of when everybody else would get very uptight. She
mm-hmm.
would become hysterical. I mean, she'd laugh, and everybody couldn't help themselves but laugh with her because she had that contagious energy.
Mm-hmm.
So it was one of those things that, you know, she had a hard life. She was raised by Roman Catholic nuns. And both of her parents divorced when she was, you know, that was a long time ago when people didn't get divorces. And so her mom was a career woman, and my mom was raised by Roman Catholic nuns, whom she never, to her credit, I think they were pretty tough ladies, those nuns. And a lot of people who are affected by nuns are pretty, have terrible memories and say terrible things about the nuns, but she never said one terrible word about the nuns. I thought that was quite amazing.
Mm.
But she left the religion. She did not stay as a Roman Catholic. And but I just thought she was an unusual person. She was one of those spiritualists.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I was raised. So
that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
You know that you choose your parents. You choose.
We do.
Yeah.
I knew that.
So that's fascinating that you chose that, and you chose your mom, and you chose to, you know, have this be the experience and the life experience that you were, you know, grew up in, and the energies that were around you. So I mean, that's really wonderful. You were preparing yourself for, you know, expansion. You wanted to be immersed. You knew that this whole shift was happening, and you knew that you wanted to, you know, expand, and so you chose particular parents and particular energies. You know,
I think probably we've all been. Isn't it true though that we just sort of hang out in the same with the same group through incarnations, and it seems like we probably all knew each other anyway from before.
Yes. Yes, we do, and
it's
larger. It's larger than you think because there's many layers of it.
Yes,
So I think I mentioned last time about the funnel. Did I
yes.
I mentioned that, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's the same type of idea where the actual beings, the energy that's incarnated, the souls that are incarnated are one small part of a group, of a collective, a soul collective. And then the rest of that, you know, is not. So not even the part of you that's not, but the part, there's a part then of this group that you're, group of energies. Everything's so orderly. It's really very difficult to try and put into words. But, I mean, to get back to, like, the grid, I mean, if you think of a grid, you think of something that's very orderly. It's got a geometrical design to it. And all of these energy frequencies, all of these energy groupings are very, very orderly. It's not accidental or random. So when you have soul groups, it's a very orderly type of thing. And it's just, I mean, I actually don't have the words. There's really no words to describe it. And people find words, but I often wonder how much is distorted in trying to find words to describe something that is beyond words. Because that's
well,
what they have to do, you know.
You and I were mentioning last week about babies being born. I'm a labor and delivery nurse. I see these babies, and it's all before they know a word.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know words. Well,
they don't even see anything but energy. Babies only see energy.
They only see energy.
Yeah, because they haven't learned how to translate the energy. They haven't learned the. In other words, what we see when we interpret energy all the time. So as we're interpreting energy, we're seeing, okay, this is my home, this is my desk, this is computer, this is window, this is tree outside, this is, sofa, chair, you know, things like that. That's an interpretation of frequencies. They haven't learned that yet. So all they're seeing is the energy flowing and the different energy patterns. They don't even see the mother as a human being. They see the mother as a collection of energies, and it's really a frequency of energies. And that's why the love bond is so strong, because it's really a frequency. It's got nothing to do with defining it or what's done. It's got to do with the energy flowing back and forth between the mother and the baby, and then the father and the baby. It's really phenomenal. And then as the baby's in the world more, and people, you know, around the baby start labeling things for the baby.
Yeah.
They do. Then the baby learns that, oh, this frequency, this collection of energy frequencies is called a bottle. This collection of energy frequencies is called mom. You know, that's what they learn. So then, and then after a while, they get so distant from the frequencies that are really there, and they just deal with the labels. And so we live in a world of labels.
Just to look at those babies, there's just nothing like it. They have the most profound look to them, the way they are is so profound and so much of it. You see the soul, totally,
yes.
Right through to the soul.
Exactly.
There's just nothing like it ever. And then if you put the baby up to mom, sometimes mom will take the baby right up to her lips, and then they kiss each other on the lips. And that, to me, is one of the most precious sights of creation. There is such a beautiful thing that goes on with the baby kissing. The baby seems to know how to kiss on the lips.
Mm-hmm.
And just this wonderful love that takes, it's just very moving.
Yeah. Well, you're feeling the frequency of it. You're feeling the energy of it. And it's really beyond words. What you're experiencing is way beyond words. And you're just, it's like you're observing a magical moment, a magical scene, and magical energies. And you are.
Yeah.
When the babies are born, when the babies show up here, when they first are born, it's really literally God there, in that, you know, there's no anything overlaying that. You are looking right into the eyes of the divine. That's why it's so profound, because there's nothing been that laid over that to layer in between that yet.
Yeah, yeah.
So
it's
a gift. It's an amazing gift. It's also part of the reason why you are as you are, and it's also, again, part of the reason, too, why you as you chose to be doing this.
Right.
It all comes
right.
Full circle. So it nurtures you, but
does.
You chose it because you wanted to be there. You wanted that experience. You wanted to be with the divine up close and personal as the divine popped into each, into birth, into lifetime over and over and over. I mean, there's nothing like
cool.
it. Yeah.
Well, right across the street from where I work is the hospice.
Oh, okay.
And I'm wondering, I just wonder sometimes.
And so that's like the hospice being like where the older people go?
Where people are dying over there.
Right,
they
right.
die regularly. They probably die all the time. And there's all this birthing going on. And I think there might be an exchange sometimes of...
There is.
Of energy there, yeah.
There definitely is. I mean, that's no accident or coincidence that that's like that. And that's very interesting that they're so close and juxtaposed. Yes. Always, it always happens that way. It seems like there's always a transfer of energies. One leaves, another comes in. One leaves, another comes in. You know, it's like there's this big line. You know, if you kind of like visualize this or imagine this, a big line of souls waiting to be birthed into the physical reality so they can experience it. I mean, this is all an experience. It's like you're in line for the amusement park. Like, I want to go, I want to get on that ride, I'm waiting, and, you know, but they can only fit so many on at a time, because there's only a certain number of seats. So in order for you to get on, someone else has got to get off.
Well, there's only a third of all pregnancies end in miscarriage. So it's not that easy to have a pregnancy and have it really, work.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So there's that aspect of things. And then people get pregnant and then they run through. We have an area in our hospital where people have preterm labor issues, and we're trying to hold on to the pregnancy at least until the baby can live.
The preterm pregnancy issues, and I just got this, is their emotional blocks coming up. And those blocks are interfering with the new souls entering into the world, you know, coming here. They're throwing up barriers to that and blocks to it. So what happens is that the person, the mother, has got to work through these things. And it's really an energetic process. Of course, it's not treated that way by modern medicine, but it can be treated that way with probably even better results than the traditional way. It's really their old energetic imprints from probably lifetimes well before this one, buried stuff that is just comes up and starts gets in the way and just blocks baby.
Now, did you hear the music before our program?
Yes,
and
I love that music.
We play it at the end, and that music was composed by Klaus Jensen and his partner. They both are from Denmark,
mm-hmm.
And the thing about it is that they play it in antepartum units, women who are having preterm labor issues, and people listen to that music. They don't watch bad TV. They don't watch the news. They don't. And they listen to the music, and they have great rates of people being able to take the pregnancy at least, well, a lot of situations the pregnancy goes to term just by playing that music and people getting into a relaxed state of mind.
Well, that music actually opens a vortex. It opens a channel, a connection to a particular type of energy frequency. It connects the spirit, the soul of the mother. It heals that soul. It connects them to a very healing energy. It's a very, I notice the feelings that I get when I listen to it, and it's very loving, very healing. I love it. It's just, it's kind of like just swimming in a big healing pool. And just,
it is.
Yeah, it's just so wonderful. And it's because they probably don't even know it. A lot of times when these composers put these things together, this has come through them. And it's been something that's really just kind of been a channel thing, and they don't realize the frequencies or the power of what they've done. They've just brought, their job was to bring it through. That's all. Not to know what it is that they brought through, but to bring it through and to put it out into the world. And that's real. They literally are channeling, you know, the divine here, and channeling a particular energy, and that's really what I feel in listening to that. I didn't know what it was, but I just love it. I just totally love it.
It's powerful.
Yeah.
It really, that music is a blessing.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yes. So, if you would like, we can do. Are there people left still?
I think everybody.
No,
gone
I think that's it.
At this point.
Everyone's gone?
Well, there is a guest. Guest 2476, who is probably just hanging out, and then there is somebody on the line, and I guess they're just listening and appreciating the essence of what is happening here.
Okay, well, why don't you put out there and see if they'd like to do a brief meditation or meditative process or anything. I mean, I've got no attachment either way, and I don't feel that the collective, I mean, of course they have no attachment, so that's kind of a ridiculous thing to even think of, but so, you know, why don't you put it out there? I mean, because we've gone long. I can only imagine how long we've gone up, because I'm not looking at the clock.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Yes, this is Susan from Colorado.
Hi, Susan.
Hi, Amy. Yes, I've just been listening, but I have a question. It sounds kind of silly, but last June, Ed and I had gone to the Coors Brewery in Golden, and, you know, they give you what's called a golden ticket. It's a scratch ticket, and you could save up to 20% of participating restaurants or businesses, and there's some cash prizes thrown in. They said you win up to $500.
Uh-huh.
So we got a few tickets, and over the weekend, I came across them. I said, well, I'm going to throw them in the garden. You know, I was just going to toss them. I said, well, I'm going to scratch them just to see what I bought. I got the one and only $500 winner.
Oh, no. That's amazing. I love
and
it.
And I can't use it because you have to scratch it in the when you make a purchase, you go to the register when you pay for your hamburger or whatever. And I'm like, oh no, it's like, you know, I don't have luck, and it's like, and you were just saying earlier on the the conversation, there are no accidents.
Right, and there's no such thing really as luck. It's just so what this is an opportunity for you to look at. Okay, so you had this ticket. Intuitively you knew this was that you had a special ticket. That's why you went to scratch them before you threw them out. You knew there was something there. You just didn't want to throw them out because you had a check. You just knew it. But you also had enough doubt so that you didn't take them to a place and scratch them in the presence of somebody. But you kind of think, oh, well, you know, there's probably nothing. That was your conscious mind answering.
Yes. Uh-huh.
But intuitively, you really felt that there was something there, and that's why you scratched them. So.
My question is, I said, well, maybe, with all this energy work, my luck is, maybe I'm beginning to manifest that, you know, this is just kind of like the beginning of being able to attract things, you know, to myself.
Well, I think that you've always attracted things to yourself. You've just not appreciated what you've attracted because you've been focused on attracting something else. There's a lot of good things that, things that have been advancing for you and expanding for you that you've attracted to yourself and for yourself, It's just that you wanted something different. You were attached to a different outcome. So therefore, you didn't appreciate what you received. So it's always better to do things with a sense of detachment, non-attachment to the outcome. And, you know, you can have an intention, and you can have preference, if you want to call it that. But once you have those things, then just let go and allow what's there to come in and look for what that gift is and whatever comes in, because everything as it brings a gift, even if it seems negative, if something seems that it's not positive, it's just, you know, everything has got two sides in this, especially in the earth reality, because it's a duality here. It's a dual type of expression, you know, two sides. So if you're experiencing a negative side, all you need to do is flip over, you know, imagine it's a coin. Flip over the coin, and there's the positive. So you just need to look for it instead of judging it because you're only seeing the negative first. It's like you've tossed a coin and it landed on the tails. You're like, oh, tails. Well, the heads is just on the other side. Don't throw the coin out. So I think that you've always been, I mean, because I've known you for a while, I think that you've really pulled in some really fantastic things into your life. You've just not experienced the positive aspects of them, but you've experienced the negative. I think in retrospect, as you've gained distance from them, you've been able to look back at things and see how things were positive for you in your life. But in the moment, you've been experiencing things as negative. So I think that you've always been a powerful creator, manifester.
Thanks. And I'll just end a real quick note. I just feel like on a deep level a transformation taking place.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it is. It is. And the most important thing that you can do about that and with that is just to allow it, not necessarily to try to understand it or not necessarily to try and describe it or define it or to put it into words in the traditional old paradigm sense, but just really allow it and know that you are, you've hopped into a river and the river is going where it's going and it's moving rapidly along. And that's all you need to know, that you're taken care of, that you're being taken where you need to go, that everything has already turned out. Your conscious perception just isn't aware, but your larger perception, your intuitive perception, that is aware. And that deep sense, that deep knowing inside knows everything is okay. Everything's taken care of. As a matter of fact, everything's better than okay.
Hey, well. Looking forward to our meditation.
Do you want to do the meditation?
I've got another appointment, so I've got to do. Love y'all a lot.
Love you too.
Bye-bye.
Are you leaving, Joan? Oh, Joan was leaving?
She had to leave, yes. But that's okay. If you want to do a little meditative thing, that would be great.
Okay. All right. I can. I'll do something fairly brief. I want everybody to be comfortable to, I'm going to bring the collective in as I speak, and you know, I'm just going to start, and they'll come through because they always do. All right, I just want everybody to just be comfortable, to find themselves in a comfortable position, either sitting, they can even be lying, I don't want you to necessarily fall asleep, but I want you to be comfortable and relaxed. And in a space that you feel safe and undisturbed. We're just going to do a few minutes of this, but I want you to have a safe space and a little bit of a sanctuary during this time. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to just trust. I want you to just listen to my voice and just trust and go along with the flow. This is part of that river. You're on a river now, and this river is going to take you into lovely, beautiful feelings and beautiful frequencies, and a leave you in a really, really nice, delicious space. That's the intention of this meditative moment. Okay, so I'd like you to please breathe in. But breathe in through the top of your head and bring in this beautiful breath and bring it down along your chakra points, down along your spine. Bring it into your lower abdominal area and let it fill up. And as it fills up, you'll feel it expanding. And then let this breath just start to swirl around in there. Keep it in there and let it swirl. And let it pick up any tension or negativity. And then bring it up and exhale it slowly out through your mouth. So you're breathing in, but through the top of your head, through the crown chakra, running it down through your spine to your lower abdominal area, filling it up, and then swirling the energy around. It does not matter what direction you swirl the energy in. You'll swirl it in whatever direction you resonate with at the moment. So that's not important at all. So just let it swirl, and it will pick a direction. And as it swirls, it's going to collect any tension in your body, any negative feelings, any doubts, and it's just going to pick them up like a magnet and attract them, and as you exhale, they're all going to come out. And if you look at your breath as it comes out, you're going to notice it's got little specks in it, little darkness in it, and that darkness is the negativity and the tension on all of these lower frequencies, so just let them leave. And inhale again through your crown chakra. And as you inhale, see the breath as a beautiful glowing white light. And it's coming down your spine. You see this white light just coming down through the chakra points. Boing, 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 illuminating all of them. And it's illuminating your core. And filling up your gut, your lower abdominal area, filling up with a beautiful, beautiful white light breath. And it starts to swirl around slowly and picks up all this negativity and picks up whatever is remaining, any remaining tension. You feel every muscle in your body relax as all of the negativity is just kind of sucked into this vortex. And you just exhale it just so easily and naturally. No effort needed. No fancy type of relaxation techniques needed. It's just a matter of using this beautiful breath energy, this life force energy that you're bringing in down your spine, through the chakra points, into the lower abdominal area, into that beautiful core point, which is your connection to source energy, this point. And you're bringing everything right here, and you're swirling it around, this beautiful white light. And it just attracts all the tension right out of you, out of your mind, out of your body, out of your muscles. And you exhale it easily out through your mouth. So it's kind of like this little you that's coming down to the top of your head, this stream swirling about, picking up negativity, and then looping back up and exhaling out through your mouth, just beautifully. You should be feeling more and more relaxed as you continue to do this, and just allowing this beautiful energy to fill you and radiate out. Now I want you to just breathe in this beautiful energy. Allow it to fill up your lower abdominal area. And instead of, I want you to slow it around, but instead of breathing it out immediately, I want you to have it exhale or expand into your whole body. So you're like exhaling it out of your lower abdominal area into all of the points of your body. You're exhaling it down into your legs. You're exhaling it out into your trunk and your head and down through your arms. Until you see your whole body is filling up with this beautiful white glowing light. Your whole inner being is just filling with this white light. And then just exhale naturally. And do that again. And just allow yourself to be filled and cleansed with this. This will cleanse out any negative blocks that there are, any thoughts or concerns that you have, just will fill everything with a cleaning, beautiful, healing energy, and just an energy of allowing and an energy of unfolding. Just allow that energy to just fill you up. And just feel that energy filling you up. Now I want you to just focus on this energy that is filling up your body. I want you to really see it. Just continue to breathe in this energy and keep continuing to let it expand out into every corner of your body and your being. Just be immersed in that energy. Feel that energy. Feel the love of that energy. Feel the beauty of that energy. Allow that energy to be your expression, to be you. Allow yourself to surrender totally to the energy where you experience yourself fully as this beautiful glowing light body, this beautiful glowing energy. Now, as you're experiencing yourself as that, I want you to expand your awareness beyond your light body, your energy. I want you to notice that there's glowing energies, glowing beings all around you in a symmetrical type of arrangement. They're all around you. These are what we call other beings, but they're all a part of you, because if you look, you'll notice that you're connected to them through streams, through energy lines, you want to call it, connecting each point, each light being, each point of light. You're a point of light, and you are a part of this grid, this part of this beautiful light grid, and every other anything that is also a part of this grid, is a light being, is a light body, a point of light on this grid. And I want you to see, I want you to become aware of how connected you are to everything, to see the beautiful, beautiful connection, and to experience that you aren't separate, but that you are very much a part of something larger. And I want you to actually expand your consciousness, to step back, almost like rise above your point of light, and to look at it and notice, kind of see the grid kind of like you're looking at it from a further vantage point. And I want you to notice that it's this beautiful, beautiful glowing web. And it has its own consciousness, its own energy. And you are a part of that. You're not separate from it or distinct. And then I want you to flow back slowly into your point and just kind of experience the love that is coming to you from this connection, from these connections, from these other parts of you, from this grid. Just allow it to flow into you and allow it to be absorbed and allow it to just penetrate your being and allow that light to come into your light body also and to fill you up so that when you look at your light body and you experience your light body, you are glowing brighter and brighter and brighter. So bright almost that you can't, it's so bright it hurts to look at yourself because it's just so bright. But it feels so amazing. Just allow this to just fill you up. And just keep allowing that. Allow it for a moment. And just keep inviting it and allowing it. Now I want you to start bringing yourself back. You're going to bring back this beautiful energy into your life, into your physical life, your moment-by-moment physical life, you're going to express this energy, and you're going to see this energy expressing and manifesting in ways possible, or ways that you never thought possible before. It's just, you're going to, things are just going to start showing up that you're going to wonder where these come from. So I want you to just allow this energy. Bring your consciousness back to your physical body. Just bring it in. Bring it back to your core, to that part of you in your core, your lower abdominal area, your center there. And feel it swirling about. And bring it back, bring some of the energy back up into your head. Bring it up into your mind and allow it to cleanse your mind, cleanse your thoughts. And now, I'm going to start bringing you back to normal consciousness. I want you to become aware of your physical body, sitting or lying, on whatever surface it's on. I want you to feel the surface pressing against you. If you're sitting in a chair, feel your chair pressing against your bottom, and your feet on the floor, touching the floor. I want you to feel your hands, your arms. Just become aware of the positioning of your hands and your body in space. I want you to send love to your body right now. Take some of this beautiful energy that you've brought back, filled yourself with, and send it to your body lovingly. And ask that your body accept it. And thank your body for all it does for you, for loving you so unconditionally, and always being there for you. No matter what you do to it, it hangs in there. And now I want you to wiggle your toes. I want you to wiggle your fingers. I want you to bring your attention back up to your eyes and your eyelids. And I want you to feel the energy behind your eyes. And I want you to feel the energy on your face. And I want you to let a smile come to your lips. If you didn't have a smile already, I want you to let a smile. Just kind of fold your lips upward. And I want you to just slowly open your eyes as you feel ready. And come back fully into your surroundings. Are you back?
Yes, thank you. That was
okay.
Great.
Okay, did that feel good?
That feels good.
Okay, good.
Right. Shall we play some of Klaus Jensen's music?
Absolutely. Do you have a longer clip of it than what you normally play?
Yeah, I'm going to play a longer clip right now.
Okay.
So we can all listen and go about our beautiful evening.
That would be wonderful. Thank you very much. Let me give
Thank
my website.
You.
Wait, before we go, let
yes,
me give my
please,
website
please.
Because we've always forgotten to
always
do that. and now that everybody's hung up.
Well, we get it out there. Go
okay.
Ahead.
You can find me, obviously, on the web at allaboutenergy.com. So that's allaboutenergy.com. And you can also find me at money, You don't need the www for this one. Money Reiki Healing. That's MoneyReiki Healing. healing.com. So either one.